a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith. We work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make you another painful visit. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? As I wrote, I did so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote you out of much affliction and anguish of heart with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you.
Peace be to you, the reader. Wisdom arise, let us hear the holy gospel. Peace be with you all.
Your spirit.
The reading is from the holy gospel according to Saint Matthew.
Let us be attentive.
Said this parable, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves are killed. And everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the thoroughfares. Invite to the marriage feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment, and he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This life, beloved brothers and sisters, we know has many sorrows, But of course, it also has many joys, worldly joys, of which one of the greatest is the joy of a wedding. But before there can be a wedding, an engagement takes place. That is, the man and woman who love each other and decide to get married want to make this joyous decision known to their relatives and friends. Their engagement is an official pledge, a promise of marriage, and the engagement ring represents the confirmation that the pledge will be fulfilled. The woman who receives an engagement ring is joyful and can't wait for her wedding day. Throughout history, there are many moving examples of women who waited 5, 10, or even more years for their beloved fiancés to return from abroad, maybe off at war or waiting to be able to be received into a foreign country. But mountains and seas cannot extinguish love. An engagement between honorable, faithful people is a guarantee of that lasting love. Now, of course, why am I speaking about engagement this morning? It is because today's apostolic reading from 2 Corinthians speaks about exactly that, engagement, but not in the usual or ordinary sense. St. Paul uses this metaphor to raise our minds to something more lofty and spiritual. For he is speaking of a mystical engagement when he says these words, "Brethren, it is God who confirms us with you in Christ and has anointed us. God has sealed us and given us the pledge of the Holy Spirit in our hearts." This happens, of course, at the sacrament of baptism and chrismation, specifically, when we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the mystical myrrh. This is the covenant established between us and God, the pledge, the promise, the engagement of the wedding to come. As in the folktale Cinderella, when the people hear that a poor orphan girl has been engaged to a prince, everyone congratulates her and says, "What a fortunate girl. Now she'll leave her miserable confinement and circumstance and go to a palace to be its mistress and a lady. She is going to marry the finest man in the kingdom." Yes, that outcast is going to marry a king. Now, I am speaking here, of course, allegorically, in a spiritual sense, because that young lady who is barefoot, hungry, and covered in soot and cinders is our soul. And the son of the king who is engaged to that poor girl is none other than Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, it is Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is, as the gospel says, and as our church sings so often, the bridegroom, the handsome bridegroom. And what a groom he is. A groom who shines with extraordinary beauty, a groom full of riches, glory, and power. A heavenly groom, and blessed is that soul that Christ shall love. That soul, we say, is engaged to Christ by the power and the energy, the confirmation and the seal of the Holy Spirit. The engagement about which St. Paul speaks to us this morning, then, is the intimate relationship that binds you and me to Christ. It is faith, it is trust, it is hope, it is holy baptism and chrismation. It is prayer. It is, generally speaking, the grace that comes from all of the sacraments and mysteries of the church and the life lived in Christ according to his life-giving commandments. A person who lives and breathes this atmosphere of faith and of the mysteries of God feels this kinship with Christ and knows that Christ loves him and will not abandon him no matter what. Christ is faithful, as we hear so often in the scriptures, in his love and in his commitment. Whatever he promises, he will give to that soul who loves him in return and is faithful to him. And that soul will be happy, full of joy, and complete, preparing through the life in Christ that wedding garment. God is faithful and true. He is even truth itself, and in whom, as St. Paul says elsewhere, is no falsehood. And so we can depend on God's promises with absolute confidence. What are some of these promises? Because they are so many. To name just a few from the scriptures, his presence, I will never leave you, Hebrews 13:5. God's protection, I am your shield, Genesis 15:1. God's power, I will strengthen you, he says in Isaiah 41:10. God's provision, I will help you, again from Isaiah. God's guidance, and when the good shepherd puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them, from the Gospel of John. God's rest, come unto me, says Christ, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's cleansing, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, writes John in his first letter. God's goodness, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly, we read in the Psalms. God's faithfulness, the Lord will not forsake his people for his own great name's sake, 1 Samuel. God's wise plan, care for us, and providence. All things work together for good for them that love God, we read in Romans. The spiritual joy and the delight that the believer feels here in this world is certainly only a tiny and small portion of what it will be. It is but a fraction of the great joy that believers will enjoy in the next life and in the world to come. There, in the eighth and everlasting day and age, in the resurrection on the last day, the wedding will finally take place, and the union between Christ and his bride will be consummated. The marriage of Christ with those souls who loved him, who adored him, worshiped him, remained faithful to him throughout the engagement will be completed and eternal. And this wedding is unimaginable in splendor. Christ will be united to the faithful throughout times and all places, and nothing, and certainly no one, will ever be able to separate those souls from him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Apocalypse, the Revelation, the wedding of Christ the Lamb and his bride is described in such beauty that the mind can scarcely grasp even a small piece of the grandeur and eternal union between Christ and our soul. So let us pray that the description of that glorious bride matches the condition of our souls both now and on the last day. And she was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. She had the glory of God. Her radiance was like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal, as pure gold, clear as glass, adorned with every jewel. The Spirit and the bride say, come, writes St. John. And let him who hears this also say, come. And let every soul who longs for Christ say, amen, come, Lord Jesus. To whom be the power and the glory forever. Amen.